Luke chapter number 4, and I want to read just one verse. Stand with me, would you? And then we're going to use our Bible some. I'll read some of the scriptures, and then I'll have you use the Bible probably some. But I've got a lot to get through, so I may just read some portions of scripture to you. But I just want to read one verse, and then we'll take off on tonight's theme. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and he came, speaking of Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd give our entire church, every family, a wonderful and blessed December. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to plan ahead a little bit and perhaps build in some precautions. Seems like every time of year there's pros and cons. There's potential for good and the potential for evil. And I just pray, Lord, that during this special time of year, Lord, that we continue advancing forward and that we're faithful in the things we ought to be faithful in. And this would be a time, Lord, that you'd look down and be pleased with us as Christians. Lord, there ought not to be any time of the year where we just take off being faithful, take off, quit doing the things that we ought to do. So I pray, Lord, that you would use this message to help us to do some planning ahead and maybe avoid some pitfalls that come sometimes with the holiday seasons. We pray in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject, the dangers of December, the dangers of December. I think if you'll do this, let me just give you a little something to kind of meditate on and think about. But I'm going in, got cold the other night, and I mean cold. And we've had some cool weather. I shouldn't say cold. I guess 20s are starting to feel like single digits to me now. But I'm going into my 50th winter. And I'm not 50 years old, but the way I've got it figured up, my first winter, I wasn't one. Because I was born in August. So this is my 50th winter. Is that right? Would that make sense to you? I've gone through an entire year. By next August, I'll have gone through an entire year 50 different times. Let me just say this. Everybody ought to make a study of the times and the seasons, of the different months, the different seasons of the year, because I think that every month, every season has its pros and its cons, its potential for good and evil. And there are some things that come with certain times of the year. For instance, January and February, you ought to do a study of yourself. You'd be surprised how many people struggle in a lot of areas during those months. Those are not easy months, by the way, to get through. Those are months where it's easy to be prone a little bit to melancholy and depression. And you have to just know yourself. And if that's true, what you have to do is you have to, don't just give in to it. Don't just say, well, I can't, next 2 months I'm going to be a basket case. I can't help it. I'm just going to just curl up and be nothing. You know, after 50 years, I ought to be able to figure me out enough to know how to pre-plan some things in those months. There's a reason, by the way, that we have a missions emphasis month in February. You know why? Let me just tell you one of the reasons why. I chose that month because it's in a two-month span where we, if we're not careful, get very selfish and get very worried about us and get very depressed. And to take an entire month and just take a look at the world and the needs of the world is great therapy for the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a reason that I preach what I preach in January. I'm not going to tell you everything. There's a reason we do certain things in the spring. There's some dangers. There's some great potential for summer, but there's also some dangers that just always come along with summer. Look right up here. I'm going to tell you the truth. I've watched more young people lose it and fall and be a casualty in June, July, and August than any other 3 months of the year. And there's reasons for it. So you do a study of these things. There's some things that we accomplish in the fall, and we do it on purpose. There's wonderful things about what I call the holiday months, November and December. And by the way, if you'll make a study of our church schedule, there's certain reasons we do or don't do certain things in certain months. There's reasons behind it. We purposely scale back a lot of things. We go down to our bare schedule for the most part in November and December. And we do so because, honestly, we want you to have family time. We want you to have holiday time. And so we, for the most part, scale things back quite a bit. We just kind of slow down. Now, we don't cancel soul winning. We don't quit going soul winning. We don't quit services. Folks, next year when Christmas falls on a Sunday, guess what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going to have Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night services. Okay, and there's nothing that supersedes the Lord's Day. And so these things, we don't quit everything. But out of respect for the holidays and the travel plans and the different things, we try to just give you a little breath. By the way, we worked hard in the fall. And sometimes just having that little break is a blessing to everybody. But December is a unique study. December has so many great things that are just built into it, so many positive things. But it also has some pitfalls. And so I'm just going to list 10 things tonight. Don't panic. I'm going to keep moving. But I'm going to list. I preached my long message of the day this morning. If you were in the nursery or you were in children's church, let me just say, I am so sorry what I did to you this morning. And every once in a while, on those rare occasions, I get in the spirit. And sometimes I continue to preach when a message is over. And so if you're a preacher, you understand that. God got done about 20 minutes ago and you're still going. You know, all of us have done that, Sean. But I'll try to be careful tonight. But let me just give you some things. And let me help you. I want these to be encouraging things. If it's some exhortation, if some of this is a little rebuke in your life, take it from a pastor that loves you. And pre-plan some things so that you don't fall into the same pitfalls in the same seasons and you do it 50 years of your life. You'll wake up and you're still doing the same silly things at the same silly times of the year. Number one, stay faithful to church. Don't allow yourself to excuse yourself from missing church because of holiday events or travel plans. Now, let me just tell you something that we settled in our life, me and my wife, when we got married. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Bears are never going to make it to the Super Bowl and win. And we go to church when the doors are open. We go to the church when the doors are open. That's a conviction of our life. We just do it. In all of the years that we've been married, we don't travel on a Wednesday night. If we're traveling, we stop, find a church, and attend it. We don't travel on Sunday during church services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, we go to a church somewhere. And why, preacher? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. First of all, if I want to be like Jesus Christ, then church attendance is Christ-likeness. We read in the scriptures that it was his custom, as his custom was. He attended the local assembly on the day set aside during his time when folks assembled to hear the word of God. And I know we're on a different day, and I know that we have a different schedule, but let me just say this. The principle ought to be the same. Get in church. Please, folks, stop traveling during church times. Stop doing it. It's wrong. I'm going to tell you, I fear God too much. You may hear Pastor Jerry Ross gets killed in a car wreck one of these days, but it won't be between 7 and 8:30 on a Wednesday night, and it won't be probably between somewhere around 9:30 and noon on a Sunday morning, and it won't be from 7 to 8:30 on a Sunday night, because I'm going to be in church somewhere. I'm going to be in church somewhere. I just want to help our congregation here. Some of you have just gotten lax on this. You just let every little thing that comes up in your life be an excuse not to be in church, and I'm here to help you. You're training your children, by the way. They watch you. You think children are stupid? You think that they don't know when parents are just talking themselves into not going to church? You don't think children aren't sitting there watching mom and dad in a recliner thinking, why aren't we in church? If you want to raise children that one of these days are unfaithful to the house of God, then you lay that pattern out for them. And what you do in moderation, they'll do in excess. Now, my children are certainly not perfect, but I promise you this, my children are church attenders. They're faithful church attenders. You know why? Because we never talked about it. We never voted on it. We never questioned it. Nobody in our house ever said, are we going today? If it was church time, we went. I understand sickness. I understand all these things. But folks, little Johnny's got a cold. It doesn't take the whole family to stay at home and all of you hold the Kleenex so he can blow his nose. Now just stop. Stop letting every little silly thing that shows up in your life be an excuse for the whole family just to not come to church. Okay? Now I'm helping you here. But especially during the holidays, let's celebrate the Lord's birth by missing church. That doesn't make sense to me. Number two, stay faithful in your tithes and offerings. Bible says, will a man rob God? Malachi 3:8. Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. One of the things that just amazed me as a preacher, that church giving traditionally drops in the couple weeks prior to Christmas. I don't get that. I don't adjust my giving one penny. If anything, I'm going to adjust it up. Isn't it his birthday? Y'all buying so busy taking stealing from God to buy each other gifts, and it's Jesus' birthday? Shame on you, by the way. Shame on you. I mean that. Again, I fear God. I love my children. I'd like to see them grow to be adults. I'm not going to steal God to buy something for my kids. What am I telling God? God, I just took your money and gave it to one of my children. I'm afraid God might not only judge me, he might judge them. How wrong would it be to rob God in order to buy things for ourselves or for each other? So be faithful. That means whatever your normal tithe and offering is, it ought not to change. Your missions giving ought not to go down because it's the month of December. You know, your building fund offering shouldn't go down because it's the month of December. If you begin to live that way, and you begin to say there's certain times where we're going to redirect the funds that normally would go to God and to the house of God, and we're going to use them for our benefit, then you're starting down a road that's not going to end in a good place. Remember, God said this, you know what? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Then he said, prove me. See if I don't open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing on you. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I look back at 2010 more convinced than I ever have been in my life that God blesses faithful tithing and faithful offering. I am 100% convinced of it. Okay, the greatest financial decision you can make in your life is to be faithful in your tithes and offerings. That is the greatest thing that you could do for your family's long-term financial welfare and the blessings of God upon your offspring. Don't let off on that. Number three, let me give you this. Stay focused on Christ. Hey, Santa didn't die for your sins. And Rudolph wasn't born in a manger. Don't X Christ out of Christmas. Now, don't do that. Are you like me? Are you a little tired of this happy holidays idea? Because it's politically correct. You know, we're not supposed to say Merry Christmas. I can't believe what's happened in the last few years. We have major store chains telling their cashiers that they're not allowed to wish somebody a Merry Christmas. They can say Happy Holidays. And now there's no Christmas trees. They're holiday trees. It's just anything to keep Christ's name. Listen, folks, I'm not worried about being politically correct. Has anybody noticed that? In fact, I go out of my way sometimes just to not be politically correct. Even sometimes when I should be politically correct, I'm not politically correct. Don't fall for that junk. You know what? Say Merry Christmas. You know what I like to do? Every once in a while I'll have an opportunity to walk into some place on the Lord's Day where people obviously aren't headed to church. And I'll say, isn't this a blessed Lord's Day? Isn't it exciting we get an opportunity to attend the house of God? You'll never see a more nervous group of people in your life. More guilty looks on their face. Probably, honestly, a lot of them are born again Christians. I'm sorry to say that, but it's a lot of times it's true. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. My Bible says, Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Colossians 1:18, stay focused on Christ. Number four, I'll give you this. Stay alert to soul winning opportunities. Boy, listen to this one. Stay alert to soul winning opportunities. I like 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now here's the thing. Be ready. Our visitation schedules sometimes are adjusted during the holidays. But folks, listen to me. One of the things we try to teach here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is we don't have soul winning times. We are to be soul winners. Our witnessing should never take a vacation. Now here's a thought I want you to pray about. Ask the Lord to give you some wisdom in. Answer this question. Who will you see over the holidays that needs the gospel? The great thing about the holidays is a lot of times we'll see family or friends that we might only see one time a year, or we don't see very often. Why don't you take the entire month of December and just decide that you're going to pray every single day between now and the date that you'll see them that God would save their soul? And then why don't you go with the intent of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them? And I know that with family it's hard sometimes, isn't it? Isn't it easier to witness to a complete stranger than it is a lost family member? Am I the only one that feels that way? And sometimes we think, well, it's the holidays, it's a Christmas gathering. Folks, you just don't know whether next Christmas you'll see them. This may be the last opportunity that you have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. So ask that God would give you wisdom. And but folks, listen to me. Be bold. Be bold. Don't be afraid to bring the subject up. I think you can do it in love. I think sometimes you can do it privately where you don't embarrass or humiliate them or cause them to be unnecessarily put on the defensive. But if you said to that aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa, hey, let's take a drive together, or let's take a walk, let's take a quick walk, there's something I want to talk to you about. And share your testimony of how you were saved and tell them, I want you to know that for the last 30 days, the last 25 days or whatever it is, every single day I've got on my knees and called out your name to the Lord. And I'm not trying to make you do anything. I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm just telling you that I love you and I'm concerned about you, and every single person must be saved. Except a man be born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So I want you to know I'd love to see you be saved. I'd love to be able, if you'd let me, take you to the Bible right now and show you how to be saved. And if they close that door, you still have given them a verbal witness. And let me say, well, preacher, what if they get mad? Well, you know, I've seen a lot of family members get mad before they get saved. Right, Mom? I think Aunt Lenny got mad before she got saved. I think Uncle Herschel got mad before he got saved a few times. But it's amazing that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God has ammunition. And they may not seem to have taken your witness very kindly, and maybe they get a little hostile, maybe they get a little angry. But see, they got to lay in their bed that night, and the next night, and the next night. And there's a close call that's going to happen at some point, and they're going to remember that you came in love, and you came with the truth. And you never know what that witness might mean in their life down the road. So stay alert to soul winning opportunities. Number five, stay within a budget. I wish I could stand at the back with my Bible and make every adult in here, as they walk out the door, put their hand on the Bible and make a promise that you will not use credit to finance your Christmas. That you will not use credit to finance your Christmas. That you will not use credit to finance your Christmas. Now, I'm not going to do that, and that's your business between you and Almighty God. But folks, listen to me. This is the time. If you don't understand what's happening in our country and you don't understand the financial predicament we're in, this is the time to be getting out of debt, not be getting more into debt. If you are unaware that hyperinflation is on the horizon, this is the time. Matter of fact, we're going to take a little bit of time in January. I'm going to teach you some things. But I promise you, now is the time to get out of debt. I'd be selling things to get out of debt. Take it serious. Now, honestly, that might be, for some of you, the most important thing you hear tonight. Oh, but preacher, we can't come back. We've got to use credit. I mean, the kids are so used to. Oh, here's an idea. Christmas isn't about things. It's about family, friends. It's about the Savior, which is the Lord Jesus, Christ the Lord. The Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, our children are too spoiled. Mine, yours, everybody's. Come on, you can shake your head right there. Okay, they're too spoiled. You're used to getting too much. You shake your head right there. Amen. Two of them are too infatuated with materialism. Shake your head right there. Amen. Amen. You can just say amen there. That's because I'm right. I'm right on this. I'm dead right on this. Let's get back to teaching them what Christmas is really all about. Now, buy them some gifts. My goodness sakes, yes. Within your budget, exchange gifts if you can. Great, fine. I think that's great. But we've just gotten crazy. We've just gotten crazy. People spending thousands of dollars at Christmas time? I've got a question. Are you insane? Are you insane? I don't get that. I don't get that. What you're doing is you're raising a daughter that no man's going to be able to keep happy. You're raising a son that's going to end up in credit debt one of these days because he can't be happy unless he's getting things. You know that bumper sticker that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins"? Kids, that's not true. It's not. Okay, so stay within a budget. Number six, stay sensitive to those whose Christmas joy may be mixed with sorrow. Stay sensitive to those whose Christmas joy may be mixed with sorrow. Now, young people, you're going to understand this the older you get. Because the older you get, the more sorrow you're going to have mixed in with joy. Some of you young people can't imagine any other feeling at Christmas time but joy and happiness, and this is the greatest thing that ever. Man, a lie. Why is Grandma crying? Doesn't she realize this is it? This is pecan pie. This is ham. This is Christmas presents. This is what? There's nothing to be sad about. Where's the downside? But the older you get in life and the more heartache you have and the more losses you've had, the holidays get tougher. And you ought to be sensitive about that in people's lives. Now look right up here, folks. Listen to me. I'm going to give you a little admonition for some of you that have suffered loss. And is that about everybody in here? I mean, there's somebody. Come on. Of any age at all, there's somebody in here in your life that you're going to miss during the holidays. That does not, please listen to me, that does not give you an excuse to rob the living of some joy during the holiday season. Do not rob the living of joy during the holiday season. I think that all of us will probably mourn a little during Christmas time. Amen? I'm going to do my mourning. What mourning I need to do, I'll do it privately. I'm not going to rob the people in my life that are here of the joy of having me fully engaged and rejoicing with them because I have some private sorrows. Okay? Don't do that. Well, I miss so-and-so. Well, you have so-and-so. So you're going to stay in your room missing so-and-so and rob the time you could have with the person who's still here? That's wrong. No, I said it's wrong. It's wrong. And so do your mourning and doing your grieving. And I understand that's part of it. I'm not saying it's never going to hit you at the oddest times. Isn't that weird how that happens? You know, I'm such a scheduled person. Okay, between 5 and 6 on the Saturday night before Christmas, I'm going to do my crying. And I'm going to be done. And that's how I really like to live my life. But isn't it weird how some things hit you at the craziest times? Some memories jog. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying to the rest of the people here. You've got to understand, Christmas for a lot of folks is a tough time. I hate to bring up our for instance, but you know, Thanksgiving was a great time. But my baby girl, this is the first time we've ever been apart during Thanksgiving. So you don't think there was some sorrow mingled with the joy? But I didn't go in our bedroom, curl up on a fetal position, ignore everybody that came to our house. Every time they opened the door, "Get out, I miss Tabby!" You know, they'd call the insane asylum and have me carted off. It wouldn't be fair. The day after Thanksgiving, Blaine and Amanda, we said our goodbyes, and they drove away. And, you know, sorrow mixed with joy. But, you know, they're not going out of the will of God, and they're already found a church, and it's just life. It's just life. There's loved ones that used to sit around the table with us, and their names come up, and we do a little laughing about some stories about them, and we do a little crying because we miss them. And it's a combination of things. But just be sensitive that, you know, if Grandpa's gone, Grandma's going to have a little bit of a tough time. You know, if Grandma's gone, Grandpa's going to have a little bit of a tough time. People that have had loss in their immediate family, they're going to struggle a little bit. You know, brother, maybe the first Christmas a brother's not there. Maybe first Christmas a child's not there. You know, it's tough. So just be aware of that. And I love the verse in Romans 12:15. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And that's a great verse for the holidays, because you're going to have some folks that want to rejoice. Well, take some time to rejoice with them. It's not all bad. Your life's not a whole disaster. And when somebody's spending a little weeping time, respect that. Spend a little weeping time with them. But stay sensitive to those whose Christmas joy may be mixed with sorrow. I was watching on Thanksgiving on the news, watching those video conferences that some of the news programs put on where the soldier that's over in Afghanistan is talking with. I'm going to tell you something. I can't hardly watch that stuff. I don't know these people, and I'm bawling. I think, what's wrong with me? I'm not related to them. What's going on here? Holidays aren't easy for everybody, you see. Number 7, stay aware of those who wish they could be home for Christmas but cannot. Stay aware of those who wish they could be home for Christmas but cannot. Remember the story of David when he was outside of Bethlehem and he was longing? Let me just read a little bit for you. David was in the hold. The garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. You know what was wrong with David? He's homesick. He's just homesick. Not all of our college students will make it home. Many of you have family members that's in the military. They won't make it home. You know, you've got extended family. Not all the time can finances allow everybody to travel and be where they'd like to be. And so stay aware of those who wish they could be home for Christmas but cannot. Go out of your way to be a blessing to them. Find out who in the church family is getting to come home and who in the church family is not going to be able to come home. Maybe on Christmas Day, a quick phone call, break away from the festivities, go in a room, flip open your cell phone, give them a call and say, I prayed for you today. I want you to know I love you. And I know it's probably not easy today being away from family, but I want you to know something. I prayed for you. I appreciate you. And by the way, what's going on? Talk to them a little bit. Cheer them up a little bit. Number 8, consider an others project for your family. An others project for your family. Bible says that if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Too many gift giving is, well, I'll give them one because they're going to give me one. Bible says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil, and be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And what he's saying there is, you might find somebody to do some good to that has no way to pay you back. What's another's project? Let me just give you one assignment, one thing we've tried to do. Keep an eye on your neighborhood. Always look at your neighborhood as a mission field. Is there some elderly folks? Is there a widow? Is there a widower? Is there somebody that's going to spend a lonely Christmas? You know what? It ain't going to take a few minutes out of your Christmas day or your Christmas Eve to bake an extra plate of cookies. Lord knows we have enough cookies, right? We have enough to give away. And go over there and knock on the door. Just say, hey, I want me and my family going to wish you a Merry Christmas. We're going to do something as a Christian school. And I'll go ahead and give you the heads up on this, but I just was real burdened, and God impressed this on me actually this afternoon. And I happened to see a letter from Brother Unger and reread it. And I want our Christian school kids, I want you to bring gifts for the Unger family. We'll get you the names and the dates, and if some of you church folk want to help on that, that'd be great. But Brother Unger's and his dear sweet wife, bless her so much, and their children, they've had a tough year. I mean, me and you would not want to have lived the nightmare that has been their life in the last 6 months. And we're gonna do something nice for their family. I came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, became principal, and I sat through a couple of our Christmas parties down there. And again, some of you are going to think I'm just so mean. But I'm watching kids that are already going to get more than they probably need, giving gifts to each other. And I just think to myself, what are we learning here? And almost every year since then, we've tried to find. And we've done some gift exchange amongst the kids from time to time. I'm not against it. But let's find somebody. Rather than me and you just get an extra present that's really not even going to mean that much to us, let's find somebody. Let's find some family that's struggling. Let's find somebody that's going to not have much of a Christmas. I got a soft place in my heart for people that are in full-time Christian work that are struggling out there. And there's a lot of them, by the way. Let's find that young preacher and his wife that's, you know, making $200 a week and they're full-time in the ministry. Yeah, right. Starving half to death. And the honest truth is they don't have any way to get their kids Christmas. Let's find them. And what I've found is this. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life, He'll bring you across the person that He wants you to help. And just tell your kids, you know what? What we're going to do this year is we're all just going to kind of get maybe one or two less presents each, and we're just going to take on this family as a project. And listen, by the way, I want you to go with us when we go shopping. I want you to look for something for the girl, and I want you to help me look for something for their son, and I want you to help me look for something for their baby. And let's do that, and then let's go over and surprise them on Christmas Eve and just knock on their door and give them some cookies and give them 10 or 12, 15 presents to open. And let's do something. You know what? Your children at that moment will learn more about Christmas and what it really is than they will the next morning tearing the wrapping off presents for them. Consider another's project for your family. Number 9, spend some time evaluating 2010-2011. I'm going to say this real quickly, but December to me is absolutely the pivotal month to setting yourself up to having a successful next year. December's the pivotal month. In December, the last half of November and December, I systematically disassemble every single area of my life and put it under the microscope and reassemble it to hopefully it will run better, stronger, and accomplish more in the next year than it did in the previous year. And folks, take the time to do that. Well, the holidays are busy, I know, but also you have some downtime that you might not normally have because of the holidays. And you ought to take some time. I preached the other day about living by schedule. We ought to start living more disciplined. We ought to set some goals. We ought to accomplish some things. You ought to look at every area of your life, every part of you that God has made, your body, your soul, and your spirit. You ought to look at your mind, your heart, and your will, and you ought to look at your body, and you ought to sit down and make some goals. And in 2011, in all areas of your life, you ought to be better and more pleasing to the Lord and more successful than you were in 2010. Now, folks, listen, if you don't change anything, you're not going to see many changes. And so take some time in the month of December and spend some time evaluating. You know, the Bible in Genesis teaches the principle of the day starting in the evening. The evening and the morning was the first day. Let me say this. I think the next year starts in December. Successful tomorrow usually is pulled off when you take some time the evening before and plan for a successful tomorrow. Well, December is kind of that evening before a new year. And so think about that. In Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead. God, Christ shall give thee life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, what the will of the Lord is. There are some areas in your life, in 2010, you've fallen asleep. You need to wake up. There are some areas that have died. You need to rise from the dead. There are some areas that have gone dark. You need to rekindle the light. There are some areas where you may have walked foolishly. You need to learn to walk circumspectly. You need to be wiser. There's probably in all of our areas of our lives, time-wasting things. Where we're not redeeming the time, we need to take an evaluation of that. Why? Because the days are evil. Because the Lord is coming soon. And so we ought to live every day to its fullest. Let me give you the last. Number 10. I mentioned earlier, this is Christ's birthday, our celebration of His birthday. Give Jesus Christ the greatest gift you can ever give Him. Give Him you. Give Him you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So during Christmas, while you're going out and getting everybody else a gift, be sure and say, Lord, I want to give you the best thing that I could give you, and that's me. And give God yourself. Give God a brand new, cleaned up, sanctified you. And maybe these admonitions will help you to have a successful December. And I found out this, if I have a successful December, I usually go into a new year experiencing a heightened level of success in almost every area of my life. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use what we've taught tonight. There's some simple exhortations, admonitions based on Bible principle. Some things that will help us in this unique part of our year, of our calendar year. We do pray for those, Lord, that will suffer a little heartache and sorrow during this time. Lord, help us to be aware of them. For those that will go through times of homesickness, may we try to reach out and be a blessing to them. Lord, may we stay focused on the important things, the eternal things. May our affections be set on things above, not on the things of this earth. May we practice temperance and moderation in all that we do. Help us, Lord, to obey biblical principles concerning our finances and to not make foolish spending errors that's going to cause us to suffer throughout all of the next year, to put us farther behind. So I pray, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom, help us to seek the leading of the Holy Spirit in all areas of our life. We pray in Jesus' name.